morning, Steelers. It's super great to see all of you here this morning. And good morning to our online crew as well. Let's see if you can light up that
live chat with some encouragement for each other and encouragement for our church. Graduation from high school is a remarkable milestone. It looks forward to new possibilities and advances in autonomy. So grads, as you chase down new pursuits and goals, make the choice to engage further in your faith. Be relentlessly uncompromising in your relationship with Jesus. Make that your first priority as you plan for the future. And as your church family, we promise to support you and walk alongside you and journey with you. You guys are kind of the reason why we wanted to do this Sticky Faith sermon series. We want you guys to be built up in faith so that you can step into the future that God has desired for your lives and not put that exciting journey on pause. So let's take a moment and pray for our grads. God, give wisdom to our young adults and lead them into the future that you have for them. And give the church an ear to hear so that we could listen to what you're telling them about the future of your church. Amen. Well, in the movie The Last Samurai, a retired U.S. Army captain named Nathan Algren, played by Tom Cruise, is hired by the Japanese government to train their new military as they adopt Western techniques and practices towards the end of the 19th century. After some haphazard training, they encounter their first battle with the samurai, whom the government feel are standing in their way of modernizing Japan. Well, due to the hastiness of their training, they are ill-prepared and lose this battle. As a result, Captain Nathan is taken captive and brought to the village of the samurai leader Katsumoto, played by Ken Watanabe. Captain Nathan is guarded at all times, but he has a certain freedom to move about the village of the samurai. He's able to witness samurai life, and eventually he's brought to Katsumoto, where he belligerently asks him why he was kept alive and brought to the village. Katsumoto reveals that he wants to learn about his enemy by having a good conversation. And as time goes on, Captain Nathan observes the village and continues to have conversations with Katsumoto. And as he does this, he's able to confront his past and change his perspective about a people who he thought were beneath him, to see them as beautiful and honorable. And his experience leads him to side with the samurai in the end. Katsumoto's desire to have a good conversation has always stood out to me in this movie. And I think that the movie highlights the power of conversation. I think it highlights the power that conversation has in bringing about change and understanding. The definition of a conversation is a talk between two or more people where ideas are exchanged. And I think it's within that that is the power of conversation to see new potentials and perspectives and present the possibility of a reimagined world. And from there, step into a world that you didn't know could exist. You never know where a conversation is going to lead. And I think a lot of times it leads to building up faith at home. A major finding in the research that went into the book Sticky Faith was that lasting faith is passed on by having frequent conversations about God at home. But their findings also concluded that parents oftentimes didn't talk about faith with their kids. The study in the book revealed that only 12% of youth have regular conversations with their moms about faith, and only 5% have faith conversations with their dads. So as important as these faith conversations are, they're not happening all that much in the church. I can remember seeing the impact of this stat with a student at a youth group that I was at quite a few years ago. We were having a Bible study, and we were going around talking about what we thought regarding a certain passage. And when it came to this one student who volunteered tirelessly at the church with their family, I mean, they were practically there more than I was. When it got to them, their response was, "Oh, I don't know, we don't talk about God and stuff all that much at home." And all of a sudden it clicked. Because even though they volunteered a lot around the church, you can tell they didn't understand what they were doing. Their faith was made out to be more of an action, not something to be understood. And don't get me wrong here. When we live out our faith at home, it needs to be on display. There has to be something to show for it. It needs to be practically acted out, but it needs to be understood too. And that's why conversations about faith at home are so important. These conversations are meant to be an everyday part of our lives, inspired by everyday events in our lives. We cite this passage a lot here about living faith at home, but let's look at how Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7 talks about passing on faith. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Faith has this certain element of being passed on through everyday conversations. Before we move on to talk about sticky faith conversation ideas, we need to unpack where we're at culturally. Cultural thinking has passed through and shifted through different ages throughout history. We've experienced different shifts in thinking through movements like the Enlightenment Age or the Industrial Age. We currently sit in the age of information. This is an age that has brought us unparalleled access to knowledge and information. There are a wide variety of platforms and avenues for us to access mounds of thoughts and knowledge and information. We can easily access information that is nearly unlimited. On YouTube alone, 500 hours of content is uploaded every minute. And somewhere in the mix, the Studio Steel podcast is in there every now and then. And that's just one platform, though. There are tweets and blogs and news reports and books and podcasts and on and on and on. It would take multiple lifetimes to go through all the content that is available. And with all this information that's out there that we could encounter, not all of it is true. Not all of it is accurate. Some of it is misleading. Some of it is earnestly believed, but very false. And whether we actively seek out information or not, it's blasted at us all the time. We encounter it all the time. And this is where sticky faith conversations at home have to contend. We're contending with mounds of information for us to sift through and find what's true. And sticky conversations at home have a way of being able to guide us through all of that. One of the ways that sticky faith is passed on at home is by giving latitude, so setting wide enough boundaries for independent thought. This is done through the power of conversation with faith and perspective being presented rather than something that is forced to believe. Being able to think independently is best achieved. I think it's doing okay. I'll keep it up here just in case. Being able to think independently is best achieved when thinking is done critically. In order to pass on critical thinking, we must be good critical thinkers ourselves. Given the age of information that we're in, I'm convinced that critical thinking is one of the greatest assets that any follower of Jesus Christ can have right now. Maybe not.
It was working fine this morning.
That's neither here nor is it there. So, given the age of information that we're in, I'm convinced that critical thinking is one of the greatest assets that a follower of Jesus Christ can have in this age. Whether you're a parent and you're trying to pass on faith at home, whether you're a mentor and you're trying to mentor a student or another adult in the church, or whether you're just trying to reach out with somebody with the gospel at a program like Alpha, critical thinking is going to broaden your understanding and help you navigate the age of information. So two things to note about critical thinking. The first one is that critical thinking does not take the place of the Holy Spirit. So there's my equation there. Critical thinking is not equal to greater than the Holy Spirit. It actually took me a long time to find that not equal sign and to try and type that in there. It's like a code or something like that. You young guys are going to have to teach me some coding. But so critical thinking doesn't take the place of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit in John 16, verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, and he's here right now, he will guide you into all truth. And again, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, the writer reminds us that it's the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. The Holy Spirit helps us arrive at truth and see Jesus revealed in the words of the Bible. And then two, Scripture is our baseline for truth. Psalm 111, verse 10, reminds us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. We see the Lord's wisdom laid out for us in Scripture. And when information seeking and thinking critically of faith and the world around us, it should always be an attempt to line up those views against Scripture. So there are a ton of books and YouTube videos and podcasts on the topic of critical thinking, and I would encourage you to take some time to dive in and explore those avenues to learn. But I wanted to highlight two foundational elements of critical thinking that anyone can practice right away. So the first is that good critical thinkers ask good questions. In the Jewish rabbinic tradition, the tradition that passed on Israel's teachings, it was crucial that students knew how to ask good questions. And often the rabbis knew how to ask even better questions. That's how they got to be rabbis. And Jesus, being a rabbi and a master critical thinker, would often do this in his teachings. Did you ever notice that? Jesus asked like over 300 questions in the Gospels. And it kind of bugs me sometimes. Look at this exchange in Luke 10 when Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. It starts off with a question. Teacher, that's Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Boom, great question. Now let's have it, Jesus. Lay it on us. Come on, what are the XYZs of eternal life? What is the answer? Jesus. But Jesus answers by volleying another question. What is written in the law? How do you read it? Ah, come on, Jesus, just give me the answer. You know, when I was in high school, like 20 years ago, I should not just have done that calculation. That seems weird to say out loud. But when I was in high school, I could remember we would do math tests. And in our tests, we had to show our work. Do you guys remember that? Like that long division? Do you guys still do long division? I just use my iPhone now. But we actually got marks for showing our work. We lost marks if we didn't. It wasn't good enough just to write the answer down. We had to show how we arrived at the answer. What Jesus taps into by answering a question with another question is doing the hard work to arrive at an answer, showing the work to arrive at the answer. In the book Sticky Faith, it suggests that you should never explain something to your kids if you can ask a question instead. Never explain something to your kids if you can ask a question instead. That's because thinking through something is the hard work that comes before arriving at an answer. And when you put the hard work into something, you're more likely to take ownership of the outcome. And in the case of critical thinking and asking good questions and being asked a good question, you gain a deeper understanding of something. And when you yourself have a question, especially of faith, the next step, an important step, is to go and get answers. If you are on the receiving end of a critical thinking question at home or in small group or at work or wherever, it's okay to not know the answer, because you can journey to the answer and come back to the conversation that brought up that question. And that shows an honesty and authenticity that you want to get to the answer. And those are qualities that our kids are looking for us to share, and they're looking to see in us. Growing up in a traditional church, I would sometimes experience the opposite of that. When it came to challenging traditional understandings or just genuinely wanting to understand something better, a lot of questions were met with, I don't know, it's just what we've, always done. How unsatisfyingly lame and lazy, seriously. Like it's, again, it's okay to not know an answer to a question. It's okay to answer a question with, I don't know, but make sure you follow that up with, but I'll look into that and get back to you. So it's the I'll look into that that leads us to the second part of critical thinking that I want to take a look at. And that's that good critical thinkers know how to gather resources. Critical thinkers know how to surround themselves with great resources. And this is really about trying to gather perspective. And when you gather perspective, you broaden your viewpoint, and it becomes exciting to explore and understand, especially when it comes to faith. So I want to suggest a couple of resource categories for you. So the first one is people. Trustworthy people are great resources. Again, this highlights the importance of conversation, because if you're going to ask somebody something, if you're going to gather perspective, you have to have a conversation with them. And learning from people around me is why I love conversational discipleship, like small groups and mentoring and programs like Alpha. There are pastors here that love to walk through faith issues. Small groups are ready to wrestle and discuss, and mentors that want to share their experiences. And for families, there are kids at home that are trusting you to share your thoughts and dialogue with them. Trustworthy people are great resources to turn to. So another one, books. Good Christian critical thinkers read often and read from a wide variety of perspectives. Admittedly, I have some room to grow in this area, as reading could be a bit of a slog for me. But with the advent of audiobooks through media like Audible, Hoopla, and Overdrive, I've been connected to books that I would have never encountered without it. Books on history and novels and leadership and Christian thinking. I would highly recommend looking into audiobook apps. And when you do, get connected to a wide range of styles. My grandpa was an exceptional role model in this area. I have a lot of memories of my grandpa falling asleep in a chair with a book in hand. And he used to use books to keep his mind sharp. This photo that he posted to Facebook has stood out to me for years. He was 84 when he posted it, but he took this quick picture to show all the reading that he had on the go. He was reading news to stay current. He was reading a novel to exercise his mind. He had a book on history. There's a magazine on technology, and there's a book on computers. And of course, he had the Bible. I love the man that this photo represents, and I truly hope that I could be like him when I am that age. Speaking of age, did I mention that we are in the age of information? A lot of this is driven by digital access. As we mentioned earlier, online means of gathering information in this age could be misleading or incorrect. But the other side of that is that there are some great resources that are inspiring and encouraging and driven by Scripture. Access in the digital realm is far-reaching and vast in quantity. This could include interviews and teachings through podcasts, culture commentary and critique on various YouTube channels, or finding sermons from your favorite preachers, aside from Pastor Darren. If you want some suggestions to get you started, a few years ago, I put together a one-page compilation of online resources. I called it the Digital Dish, and I've just put it out on the Welcome Center if you want to grab that. Or I can email it to you. If you fire me off an email, I can get that out to you. Recently, the Studio Steel podcast did a YouTube on our recommended resources, so you can access that as well if that would be helpful. And 10 imaginary points to the first person that puts the link to that in the live chat comments. Okay, so foundations in critical thinking can demonstrate and promote individual thought through faith conversations at home. But now what? Well, these foundations allow sticky conversations to tackle touchy subjects. Are there subjects in your home that are off limits? Are there topics that make you feel uncomfortable to talk to your kids or teens or young adults? As challenging as it may be, we need to be able to tackle touchy subjects in our homes. Because here's the thing, if we leave a conversational void, it will get filled by someone else. Someone else will enter the conversation. And typically, those will come from a culture that praises self-gratification and is informed by that. I didn't put this in the notes, but when I was writing this, I was like, oh yeah, like MTV and stuff like that. And I was like, if I'm going to say that, I might as well talk about like Dick Clark and the American Bandstand. I don't even think MTV plays music anymore. So I think now it's like TikTok and like simplistic memes and stuff like that. Those are going to enter that conversation. So what would you do if you had to have a conversation on the biblical view of sex or pornography or being welcoming to the LGBT community in church? Or Christian nationalism, or the horrors of the residential school system and finding reconciliation, or racism in Canada, or maybe even in Christianity, or faith in science and evolution, or maybe even just the nuances of balancing pandemic restrictions. Would you be prepared? Maybe you have thoughts on all of those, or maybe you feel unqualified to tackle any of those. And that's okay too. It's okay not to know. That's what's so great about the critical thinking step, is that you can go back and ask great questions and gather great resources and get great answers. And that may take time, and that's okay too. Because taking the time to enter into a touchy subject to further discussion is better than avoiding it altogether. And there's an honest humility that gets demonstrated to you and your family when you admit that you don't know something. And there's a chance to practice integrity when you tackle touchy subjects together. Okay, so coupled with tackling touchy topics is having sticky conversations that tackle doubt. Being doubtful about something is just having, you know, lingering or unanswered questions. In the book, we're reminded that their research suggests that doubt doesn't have to mean the end of faith. In fact, it can inaugurate a whole new richness in yours and your kids' relationship with God. And I mean, let's be honest. We all have doubts and questions on some level. How could we not, as infinite created beings trying to understand the eternal God? When we express our doubts and questions and even faith failures to our kids, it reveals an honesty and a relatable authenticity. That faith, or to faith, that we get to live out in front of our families. And that authenticity leads to an active, living, growing faith, rather than a cold set of beliefs to stagnantly memorize. I think that the more age-appropriate, honest discussions we can have around faith doubts and faith questions in our homes, and even in our small groups and fellowship times, the more we'll see a deepening and engagement in faith. I didn't write this down because I didn't say this in the first service either, because it's so lame, but I had this sort of like super lame saying to remind ourselves about this, and it's like, don't be a doubt duster, be a doubt buster. And if you have any rotten fruit laying around, you may throw it now. But seriously, guys, like, don't be a doubt duster. Don't let doubts just sit there collecting dust. Be a doubt buster. Take them up and bust them by having conversations around them. And when we engage in faith, faith gets owned and better understood. And a faith that is owned is a faith that is sticky. I'll have the band worship team come back up. Conversations have always been a driving force for change and understanding. The best thing that we can do for our families is help them understand Jesus' work in their lives. Everything from the beautiful simplicity to the enormous complexity. Well, we can try. And this won't happen overnight. It will take time to build a rhythm of conversation. It will take intention and examination of your own family rituals and styles and personalities. But conversations usually start with one simple thing, a question. If you're struggling to build faith conversations in your home, just start with a simple faith question and get ready to listen.
I'd just like to invite you to stand as we conclude our service this morning.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I move. I will follow.
We would love for you to have a copy of the book Sticky Faith. We'd love to have that as a resource. We blasted through all the copies that we had purchased before, but we are ordering more, so if you want one, just let us know, call the office, and we will put you on the list and get you your very own copy of Sticky Faith. So guys, it's been great to worship with you this morning, and I hope you guys have a blessed week, and go have some sticky conversations. God bless you guys.